Well, this morning, I wanted to talk to you about something that's near and dear to my heart. It's not something I haven't said in this church before. It's been a little while since I've talked about it in detail, but let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for the Word. We thank you for the opportunity, the wonderful opportunity we have to come and hear your Word. Father, we thank you and praise you for the love that you shed upon us, Father God. That you love us so much. And Father God, you have not left us here orphans, but you have given us greatness, both from within us through the Holy Spirit, but also through the Word of God that lays in every one of our laps. That we can get direction, that we can receive a word from you directly anytime we need it. Father, I thank you and praise you for the Word. I thank you and praise you for the wonderful opportunity we have to come and get in your presence. And Father God, and be under the instruction of the Holy Ghost so that He can truly, truly help us become the people that we are called to be. To become the individuals, Father God, and the church and the universal church that you have called us to be. And Father God, we have a mission. We have a purpose in this world, and it goes beyond just what our little own fleshly life existence is. It goes way beyond that. And Father, I pray that every single person in this room will get a vision for that. Father, they won't even just get a vision, Father God, but they'll begin to act upon. Purpose in their heart to begin to bring about what you have called us to be. Individually, corporately, as a local body here, and then Father God, as a universal church, because every joint does supply, and that starts with the smallest and goes to the greatest. Father, we thank you and praise you, Father God, for all that you're going to do in the service this morning. I pray that every single ear will be open to hear. And Father God, you'll give me the words that you want to speak and you want to bring forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, let me ask you something. Have you ever had an injury in your body or something like that, and somebody came along and poked you at that place, right? You know, grabbed you where it hurt. You know, you maybe a little sore in your arm or something. They come up and grab you. Oh, you know. And I've had that happen where, you know, and a lot of times when it's like our family or our kids, it's not just a, you know, ow, it's a, you know. There can be a little bit of, you know, a little bit of anger that comes forth, right? Anybody ever done that except for me? You know, when you got an injury, it hurts. Yep. Amen. It hurts, and when somebody comes and pokes your injury, it doesn't feel very good. Have you ever went to the doctor or the dentist, and they started prodding on an injury? Have you? And that hurts. You know, I remember one time I was injured pretty bad, and boy, the doctor started just poking and pushing. And man, it hurt. I mean, I just wanted to haul off and hit him. You know, what are you doing? Can you figure this out some other way? Right? I mean, you really wanted to go, dude, come on, there's got to be a better way here. But you know, sometimes there's not a better way. The doctor has to make a diagnosis, and in order for him to make a diagnosis, he has to push where it hurts. He has to push where it hurts. Well, sometimes the Word of God has the same ability to do that to us. And God has the same ability. And we need to look at God as if He is a practitioner. He is a doctor. And guess what? We need to be fixed. Yeah. We do need to be fixed. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we resist that. And that doesn't help us. Sometimes we avoid that. But it doesn't solve the long-term ailment that is plaguing our lives. Amen. Avoiding those things is not going to help you become healed. Prolonging an injury doesn't make it better. And many times it makes it much worse. Much, much worse. And sometimes our body can fix things. Sometimes we can absorb certain things within us and just we can fix them kind of, you know, on our own. You know, we can come to resolution. But there are certain things that do require certain injuries within us, certain things that do require a greater one than us to fix. Amen? It just in the natural speaking, if you're having a heart attack, If you're having a heart attack, save God giving a miracle. Hopefully somebody's around that can help you. Because if they're not, you're probably dead. Amen? There's certain things that happen in the natural, within our physical body, that if we don't have help, we're in trouble. The problem is with us, when it comes to what God wants to help us with, what He wants to fix us with, so a lot of times, many times, we don't even know what they are ourselves. We're not even sure. It's like what Matt was saying when he talked to this kid, and he says he didn't think God even existed, much less love him. He's hurt, but he doesn't even have the remote beginning of the resolution until some guy comes along and says, hey, have you ever thought? You know there is an answer. See, and then things can begin to happen. Well, that's how our lives are. From the time we get saved until the time, from the time we hear about the gospel for the first time, till the time that we go home to be with Jesus, we're in a constant state of Him fixing us. We're in a constant state of Him fixing us. And I'm going to tell you right now, avoiding the doctor is not going to help you at all. It will just prolong the agony. Avoiding that pain is not going to bring resolution for you. It's just going to make it worse. Do not avoid the doctor. Do not avoid the pain. Because in the pain comes the solution. You know, when he talks about, you know, when Paul talks a lot, you know, Paul talked a lot about suffering. He talked a lot about how things happen in us. And what he was talking about was it is painful. It is painful. There is suffering involved. There is pain and suffering involved when we want to get closer to God. Because we live in this world's system. And this world system and our own personal flesh have a way of making that road very difficult. Suffering is a part of it. And it's not suffering long term, it's suffering as if a doctor coming in to fix something. Amen? Amen? So the title of this message today is Get Your Head Down and Take Cover. Alright? Get your head down and take cover. Go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 1. Okay, it says, therefore, since Christ, verse 1, chapter 4, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also. I'm in the wrong book, sorry. That's a good verse, though. Wow. Maybe we'll read that one. I had to look up. I'm like, that is not the book that I'm supposed to be reading right now. I was in Peter, sorry. But he did suffer. So are we. Okay, praise God. James chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. See, God's not real interested in our fleshly natural pleasures. He is interested in us enjoying life, but He's not interested in us having fleshly natural desires that are contrary to what He wants for us. Amen? He's just not interested in it. And most of our issues, most of our problems come from these avenues. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Spirit, the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in you yearns jealously? Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain that the Spirit who dwells in you yearns jealously? You ever think about that? That the Holy Spirit, the Spirit within us, yearns jealously. You know, and before that, what did He say? Adulterers and adulteresses? And before that, what did He say? Where do wars and fights come from you? Don't they come from your own evil desires, pleasures? So, really what that's describing is a process. A process on one side that we have this flesh that we live in. And on the other side, we have this Spirit on the inside of us that also desires for us. And in there is the war, right? In there is the fight. And it's not something we haven't talked about in this church a lot, you know. We spend a lot of time on this. There's a battlefield going on within you. And that happens all the time for all of us. There is a battle, and the battle is for you. The battle is a you. It's for you. It's in you. Amen? Verse 6, but He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. But He gives more grace. But He gives more grace. See, there's the answer right there. Amen? We have this war on the inside of us, but He gives more grace. This is why He said to Paul, hey, Paul, get a clue. My grace is sufficient for you. Why? Because even in all the troubles that Paul had, and I guarantee you, we could stack our life up against Paul. And you know what? I would love just to just line everybody up in this church. Line us all up. One problem after another problem. And just listen to them. And by the time I got to my problems, I bet you they would feel very, very small. See, we all have issues, but they're relative, right? They're big to us, but they're, in comparison, potentially small to others. And sometimes it's all about how we look at things, how we see things, how we perceive things, how we look at the way our situation exists. And all we see is our problems. All we see is all the things that are going on against us. All we see are the things around us that are an issue. But if we were to go and talk to someone else, we'd feel encouraged. Praise God, because their problems are 10 times worse than mine. Well, if they can handle it and they're still doing it, I guess I should be sucking it up. Amen? And I guarantee you, if we were to chalk our life up against the life of Paul, man, that guy, he went through some things. He went through some things for the sake of the gospel. He forged a road that not many would. He went against the grain when even the apostles that lived with Christ and were with Christ, He pushed in an area that even they wouldn't go into because of fear. He forged a road not many would. And see, if we stacked our life up against His, it would seem pale in comparison of the issues we have. But He told Paul, with all of his problems, He said, My grace is sufficient for you. I'm telling you right here, the Word of God says it right here, real loud and clear. But He gives more grace to you as well. There's not a problem you have, there's not an issue that you're dealing with that He doesn't have grace for you to help you through it. He can do it. He can do it. Amen? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Here's a key. It's a very key verse. It's a very, 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 very key verse in the Bible. Because a lot of times, what really is existing when God is dealing with us in things, or He's poking at us, He's prodding at us, He's trying to get us to do something, there's a pride in us that doesn't give Him room to really move. There's a pride that exists in us. Well, I don't need God here. You know, and I'm afraid of what other people might say or think. What will they think if I deal with this issue? See, there's a pride. It's a false pride. It's a pride. Sometimes it addresses itself in a false humility almost. And we get intertwined into this whole attitude. But what we really need to be doing is saying, God gives grace. And we need to become humble. And I thought, I was just recalling when Reverend Jones was with us, and he talked about retire, withdraw from your way, and yield to His. You guys remember that? Remember that he talked about humility and how important it was. And he talked about how much of a key it was. And he really drove it home. And I think he did a good job about talking about an attitude that has to be within us. It's not about retiring from our call. It's not about retiring from the things of this world. It's about something in me that says, you know what? I may hurt right now, but I'm going to retire from my defensive positions. I'm going to retire from this position where I will not let God come in as the practitioner, the doctor, the dentist, and fix my life. See, we got to retire. We got to retire. We got to take down the defenses and go into the doctor's office. Amen. I don't see that as a negative. I see that as a positive. I see that as a strength, not a weakness. There's lots of things in the Word of God that are like that. Like, he who is first shall be last, but he who is last shall be first. That's completely opposite of the way the world thinks. And in practice, it looks much different than what we even process within the church most of the time. We think of ourselves as weak and lowly when we're just vacuuming the carpets, but when in reality you're actually high and mighty. It's a completely contrary mindset to what the world has programmed us to believe. But that's the way the Word is. He's coming about it from a whole different way. That's why He says the Spirit in you yearns jealously. He's actually coming against those thought processes, those programmings, those things that were in the world system and the way we learned how to process the world. He's coming against it. And He yearns jealously that He could get His way in our thinking processes rather than the world's way. He's jealous. But yet so much of the time, we're like the adulterers and the adulteresses. We say we're Christians, but we really are married to our flesh. We're really married to our flesh. Amen? And that's not going to help you. That's not going to bring about change. It's not going to bring peace to your life. It's not going to bring anything of positive result. But if we do humble ourselves and we'll get into a place where God can begin to help us, then we can truly, truly, really begin to make things happen in our life, because we're not alone anymore. Because we're married to Jesus Himself, and we are married to the Holy Spirit, and we are connected in commitment and bond that is unchangeable and unbreakable. And He yearns jealously that we would give Him our life, holy and committed to Him. So when He talked about retiring and withdrawing, it really comes down to an attitude that's in within you. All right, it's an attitude within you. You're going to struggle in your mess forever until you make a decision to hear God His way. I'm not going to ever be fixed if I don't go to the doctor's office. I'm going to live a lie every day of my life, thinking that I'm okay, when in reality my body, my physical body, is in the process of dying. Until one day, my chest tightens up, no one's around, I'm yelling, but no one hears me. Poof. Dead. When in reality, if I had paid attention to the symptoms all along the way, rather than ignoring them, I could have been helped and prolonged my life. So much of the time we ignore. Like, for instance, I'm going to give you an example. If I am a person that is constantly yelling and screaming at my family, and I somehow justify that as okay because they're all messed up, I'm ignoring the symptoms of my problems. Only the Word of God brings action to me and says, hey, listen, I don't care how bad your family's messed up. You have an activity and an action that's required of you from the Word of God. See, but I can defer it and I can say, well, you know, if it wasn't for these You know? No. I have no excuse. I have no process I can go through to relieve myself of the responsibility of my sickness. I can defer it all day long. I can prolong it. I can push it on to others. But at the end of the day, who am I faced with at the time when I'm having the heart attack and I'm about ready to drop and no one's around? I can't blame my family. I can't blame anyone. I can only blame me. Because I'm responsible. So much of the time we want to push the blame. Well, if it wasn't for that darn church I attend, I would be good. You know? Everything would have been great. I'd have been successful in ministry if it wasn't for them. Pastor Cook, it's all your fault. It is. I'm not kidding. You're in trouble before God because you held me back. Man, you did not recognize. You're in trouble. I'm telling you. See, Pastor Cook's sitting there, he's laughing, whatever. And he's right, because he doesn't have a problem. I do. He's fine. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's fine. He's buzz good. Yeah. Gonna go there. God's like, hey, I find Pastor Cook. God, how can you high five that guy? What is your problem? He is the issue. I had my entire... He held me down. God, why are you high-fiving him? And God says, well, you're going to go over to the room and I'm going to be spanking your butt. Because the issue's mine. Amen? It's not his. It's my issue. He can't hold me back. It's impossible. He cannot hold me back. He can't hold me back. He cannot hold me back. Only I can. He can't keep me from going to the doctor. Only I can. Amen? Go with me real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is one of those areas of Scripture that most people just don't read because it's been so twisted over time. The church tradition and it's become something it's not even supposed to be. An example of where pastors have totally misled the church. It's unfortunate. So let's look at chapter 11, verse 1. And I like starting, I don't know if your Bible does it like mine does it. It kind of switches right there. It puts like the first part of verse 1 above a little title called Head Coverings. But it kind of goes along with it. And actually this whole thing is one big long letter. It kind of all connects. One piece connects to the other. So, you know, sometimes when we read the Bible, we get confused because we think that we're starting a new thinking process. But these really were written in letter form, right? Amen? You guys know that? They were written in letter form. There wasn't all these breaks, and we do that just to find the place in the Bible. Because if we went to 1 Corinthians and said, unless we all had the same book and went to page 2, paragraph 3, you know, we would never find what we're looking for. So they put these things in there for study purposes. But the reality is, you got to remember, much of what is in the Bible is based on the thoughts before it. And 1 Corinthians is one of those books that kind of builds on itself. One layer upon another layer upon another layer. Amen? Verse 11, chapter 11. Imitate me just as I am also imitating Christ, or as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I deliver them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every woman, every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But it also shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let it be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for women, but women for man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority over her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither a man Neither is a man independent of woman, nor a woman independent of man in the Lord. For as women came from man, even so man also came from the woman. But all things came from God. Judge among yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a dishonor. It is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Now, I read that because I just want to illustrate this book, you've got to remember, was written some 2,000 years ago in a completely different culture than we live in. And Paul brought out an applicable example to teach the Corinthian church something. He brought out the best example he could. And he did it in several places when he talked about marriage and he talked about husbands and wives. Because it was known in their time that these were traditions that hold true. But what he's really talking about here is authority. What he's really talking about here is not that, you know, we need to come into church with long or short hair. I mean, that's irrelevant in our society, right? It's not even really critical or important. But yet, some people make it a big deal, but it's really not a big deal. Okay? What is a big deal is that we have authority in our life. That is a big deal. And then what he's talking about here is having not just God over us, but having humanity in authority over our life. See, how much of a different concept do I have if I actually really do put Pastor Cook as a head covering over my life? See, if he's my covering, then I'm good with God, whether he's screwed up or not. Because it's irrelevant whether he's messed up for me. If he's a problem, God will move him. He'll take care of Pastor Cook. I don't need to take care of Pastor Cook. I just need to be covered. I just need to be covered. This whole chapter right here is really illustrative of how we need to have authority in our life. So often we don't have it. And it's unfortunate, you know, I've said this before, and it's just so unfortunate what the tradition of this culture has done in the last 50 years when it comes to authority. It has completely botched it. Bad. We have been sold a bill of goods as a society by a whole bunch of people that just would rather have put flowers in their hair in the 60s. And unfortunately, those people had kids. And they ingrained in their kids exactly what they thought. And one generation after the next, we have lost sight of a very valuable thing. And that is respect for authority. We've lost sight of it. We've lost sight. And we see it in the church culture. We see it big. We move from one church to the next. We've got another one popping up over here. This church split and that church split. It's just not godly. And so many of those things happen with people that are totally uncovered. Which means, guess what? God's not involved. That's unfortunate for them. It's unfortunate for them. But you know what? Let's use an example. Let's say we had a church split. Okay? One person here, the pastor, and another guy basically just says, I have an attitude. Okay? I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm going to start my church down the street. Okay? I'm done with this guy. Half the church goes there, half the church stays here. Okay? And then a bunch of new people come to the guy that's split off. Doesn't have his head covered. But guess what? Their heart's right. Their heart's right. They're vacuuming floors. They're working on the children's ministry. I mean, this just makes me cringe to cry to think that people would actually be in a situation like this. We have a pastor, a leader of a church that has no covering over his life. But yet, because of the grace of God, people working within his own church will be covered. Why? Because their heart's right. See, this is how God is so brilliant. He doesn't look only. I'm not tied to this pastor that's in the wrong. I'm tied to my commitment to God and serving this pastor. My head's covered. I'm fine. But guess what? He's going to get there on that day. And he's going to be going to the spanking chamber. And the guy vacuuming the carpets is going to be high-fiving. The complete opposite of what I just said. But that could happen. That could happen, right? That could really happen. We could have the most amazing, natural, just everybody's like, that's the guy! He's the one! Where is he at in God? He barely made it in. He just barely skimmed in. Barely skimmed in. But in our mind in this world, we're like, wow! That's the man! He's the man of God! You know, the trumpets are blaring right now when he walks in. And yet the person vacuuming his church is way up there next to Jesus. Why? Because it's not predicated on where I put my authority. It's predicated on my attitude. And what he's talking about here is you individually, husband, wife, it doesn't matter. You better have your head covered. You need to be in authority. And under authority. See, God's kingdom and God's ways are so contrary to what we think or imagine. But God is a great God who can bring about great things in this earth for individuals who have a right heart. I mean, wouldn't you be bummed being the church leader and the church person and all of a sudden, you know, these few new people that joined your church just last week are just like way up there. And you're like, God's like, dude, we got some things to deal with. You know, you may have just had a heart attack in the natural, but you got some serious heart problems. In the spiritual as well. And we got to fix them. Because you're going to come into my kingdom, you're going to come in my way. You got some corrections to do, your thinking process. And that I think that, I don't know, I mean, Dean could probably tell you, but I imagine when you get there, it's like all that stuff kind of just splits away, and you're like, oh, I'm in God's presence, and it's great! But there's got to be an understanding and a knowledge that I really screwed up in the world. You know, and I think his life is an example of what he recognized he wasn't doing when he went. Because he's been a different man since he returned. Is that not true? He's been a different man. Marilyn knows. Amen. I like using Dean as an example because we can relate to that. Because we know him. We know his life. We know his character. We know him as a part of us. See, and he'll tell you, because he's told me, that his attitude and thoughts changed when he came back. He had a different way of thinking. He had a different perspective. And it was a whole different perspective than what he had before he went. But the problem is that Dean didn't need to have that experience in order to have his attitude changed. See, we think we need that experience in order to have our attitude. That isn't true. That is not true. We can change right here. Right now. Today. I can change my perspective. How do I do it? Humble myself before God. Get under authority. Let people have a place in my life. Quit being so defensive and so prideful that I can't recognize where I'm injured and hurt. And let God help me. Amen? You know, what was this whole head covering thing really about in Corinthians? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. It says, man, I am really messing up on my verses today. I'm sorry, that's not the one. Praise God. I wrote down the wrong things. Let me just read it here. Let's go to one chapter, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak with the same things, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, that those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. There are contentions among you. And let's go over to chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal behaving like mere men? Are you not carnal behaving like mere men?" And if we read on and read on and read on, he's basically going into the same thing. There was problems within this church. Corinthian church had issues. They had some significant issues. Then he comes into this whole head covering thing. Now let's go real quick to Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 22. And we got almost the same verbiage that we just read there in chapter 11, verse 1 through 16. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, so as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you, in particular, so love his own wife as himself." And then he goes on more and talks about authority, children, and bondservants, and master. Again, Paul is giving an example, an earthly example of a spiritual truth. An earthly example of a spiritual truth. And you know that's true because he says this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's a mystery. That means it's outside of our natural comprehension. That means it's a mystery. And he's unraveling it. And he also unraveled it in 1 Corinthians to this Corinthian church. It's all messed up. Divided, strife, people calling Paul, people calling Apollos, and this person and that person. And man, the Bible says they were rich in spiritual gifts. I mean, they had prophecies and tongues and all kinds of things going on. People getting healed. Great things happening, which just validated their stupidity. And Paul really is hitting the nail right here. He says, really what your issue is, you don't have no authority in your life. Really what your issue is, you have no covering. Really what your issue is you do not have people in your life that you can call your mentors. And there is something about having someone in your life that God can work with and through. There's just something about it. There's something about it. See, we're afraid many times to make ourselves truly accountable. You know, many people come to counsel with Pastor Cook, but very few actually counsel with him. They just come to have him listen to him or something. I don't know. See, if you're going to really come and sit under the anointing of God for the office he holds and the responsibility that's been delegated to him by Pastor Jan, who is the head of this church, you got to come and listen to the guy. As if God was talking to you. See, that's pretty humbling for those that have to be the counselors. And I know Pastor Cook for many years now, and I know he takes the responsibility not lightly. But I also know there's an anointing for it. The problem is with us, it's just like there's an anointing for Pastor Jan to be a pastor. Just like he's called to lead certain people. God, you know, God calls people to Him. What is that for pastor's benefit? Well, yes. Because God's given him a mission, something to accomplish in this world. So absolutely it's for pastor's benefit. But it's really, really for your benefit too. And see, that's what we miss. We think, oh, I'm coming to this church and I'm giving my money and they're not spending it right. Or they're doing this or they're doing that. You're missing the whole piece. Is that not your responsibility? Praise God for that. Amen. Trust me, you don't want it. Because there's a lot of responsibility in that. There's a lot. And God holds that person accountable. And those people accountable. Just like He holds Pastor Cook accountable. He holds him accountable. He's not just going to go off and say whatever he wants to say to somebody in a counseling session. Well, you know, hey, this is what I think you should do. Praise God. And it's weird. Okay, that ain't going to fly. God's not going to let that just go on forever. What will happen is Pastor Cook will lose the very thing that makes him successful, called the anointing. And when the anointing's gone, then there's nothing to carry the office he sits in. There's no strength. You know, he can have the office, but if he doesn't have the anointing, there ain't no benefit to it. Amen? So we got to have our heads covered. And you got to come to a church. You got to come to wherever you go, whatever you do in this natural world. You better come with the concept, the mindset, that I have my head covered. Why? Because it's a great mystery. Because he's not just talking about having natural authority over you. Even Jesus himself said, I don't do anything. Say, the Father tells me. He had his head covered. You don't think you're as good as Jesus Christ, do you? Because if you do, you're living a lie from the pit of hell. See, that's what was Lucifer's problem, right? See, he thought, he got into a place in his life, he thought he was better, bigger, greater, and he didn't need his head covered no more. He was wrong. He was drastically wrong. He made a miscalculation of epic proportions. It wasn't a good thing for him that day. I can't imagine what it looked like, but it wasn't pretty. I guarantee you that. I mean, it says he shot down like a bolt of lightning. I seen lightning. It's pretty powerful. I bet you one that comes from God is pretty powerful and pretty big. There was no mystery in the kingdom of heaven. Things were just judged. And this guy has no covering anymore. He's outside of me. He's moved himself. He's transferred himself. He's misplaced himself. He's displaced himself. See, the last thing we want to do is be in a church displaced. Why? Why is it so important we're not like that? Well, let's go back to James chapter 4. Because I love this. This particular book is a good book. Let's go back to James chapter 4. And let's go with this verse 6 again. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And the very next verse says it. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. See, he gives us the key. He did the same thing in Ephesians chapter 6, where we were just reading. When he goes on to say the wiles of the devil and all that, you know? I'll read it to you. It says, right after we read that whole thing about marriage, Christ, church, having your head covered, children and parents, bondservants and masters, obey, have authority in your life. This is a mystery. I'm speaking it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, it's a mystery, right? It's not just something that's just out there easily to apprehend. But it is a mystery, and it's a reality. It's a truth. Paul spoke it quite regularly. Have your head covered. Be under authority. Okay? Then he goes, children and parents, children, obey your parents. This is the one we always teach our kids. Well, sometimes we forget as parents to do it. Amen? We want our kids to obey authority, but we're not under authority. Well, how are they going to be exampled into being under authority when you're not doing it? If you're living a wishy-washy Christian life, where you can go to this church one day and the next church the other day, what kind of authority covering have you demonstrated to your life, your children? And we wonder why they're falling apart like cheap watches. I will not. I refuse. I will fail my kids in every area, but I refuse to fail them when it comes to their responsibility to be obedient to authority. I don't care how bad a teacher screws up. I am not going to stand in any way on my kid's defense for this stupid teacher. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say, you know what? I don't care what they did. You have a responsibility to obey. If you felt threatened or you were harmed or you were going to be like dying or something, yeah, then you go run to the principal. But this little book report that you're supposed to do and you decided you didn't want to do it, I'm sorry. I don't care how well or not good she performed it. She gave you an F. And by golly, you deserve it. Because you didn't turn it in, right? Well, she didn't tell me. It wasn't on the board. Well, you know what? Who cares? You probably didn't listen. How many of the other kids in the class didn't turn it in? None. Oh. So you were the only one. Right? So once you drill in with your kids, you really get to the nitty-gritty, right? But how many of us have had conversations about our leaders in the church or at work with our kids present, and we're bashing and hashing and crashing the authority that's over us? Ooh, wow. What kind of example is that? What did we just demonstrate to them? Don't have to respect authority. Because, trust me, our kids hear way more than we give them credit for. They're pretty smart. I'm amazed at some things my kids come up with. I'm like, where did you get that? I said that one time, like 6 years ago. That ain't right. I messed up. Sorry. Right? Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 14 says, finally, my brethren, after he goes into all this authority stuff, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If the devil's pulling apart your life right now, there's a very good chance you don't have your head covered. You need to reevaluate. Take an inventory. Like Pastor says, do a checkup from the neck up. Do you really have authority in your life? Because I'm telling you right now, based on what I read in the Word and the mystery that I'm seeing here, if I have my head covered and my heart right, and I'm truly humbling myself and submitting to God, James says, he will flee from me. Why? Because it doesn't matter why I'm submitted to the pastor that's all screwed up and started the church split, or I'm submitted to the pastor that's in the fullness of God, which thank God we are. I have more pleasure every day thinking about the fact that I'm under a truly called pastor. You should have that. I just, if I could give you anything today, submit to him. Because it ain't bad. It really is good. It isn't a weakness. It's really a strength. You're not held back. You're really propelled forward. Because it doesn't matter if you accomplish nothing in your life. Zero. If you had your head covered and you did everything you knew to be right and true, God has a reward for you that will not ever be revoked. No man holds the power. No person. No Pastor Cook. He can't be my problem. He's not my problem. He's not my issue. My performance is rated. My reward is given by God Himself. Period. Over and out. And I'm getting in this stage of my life where I'm not as young as I used to be, praise God. But I'm not that old either. But I am getting in the stage of my life where, you know how you're young and you thought you knew everything? And then at somewhere around 30-ish or so, you figure out, I don't really know anything. Yeah, right? So the older I get, on one side of the coin, I realize there's so much I don't know. On the other side of the coin, the things that I do know to be true, that God's given me, how true they are becoming. I'm getting to a place in my life where I'm more founded and confirmed, not because of theory, not because I read it, but because I've actually put it into action in my life. And I've seen it perform. And I've seen it work, not just in my life, but in others' lives. And I've seen it fail, not just in my life, in other life, where certain things are becoming truer and truer and truer. What I taught you today is one of those things. The more I talk to people that are successful in life, in ministry, the more I realize it's because of they had an attitude to have their head covered by authority in their life. The more I talk to people that are falling apart like a cheap watch, the more I recognize there's pride. There's areas of their life they do not want to see the doctor in. And they're avoiding it like the plague. And it's becoming clearer and clearer to me the more I work, both in the church and just in life and work. That's what's the problem. That's what's the problem. Amen. We've got to go see the doctor. Quit being prideful. You're not losing when you get before God in humility. You're only gaining. He can't, you're not gonna come out on the other side having lost anything. You could be the most wealthy person in this world that's stripped of all your wealth by God and come out the other side the most wealthy person ever, 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 ever. See, because it's not the way the world sees it, it's the way God sees it. Amen. And we're fearful to release to God. We're fearful to do that, retire, withdraw, yield. But let me tell you something, if you do it in your heart, if you do it in your heart, you're protected. You're not sacrificing anything. Amen? Amen. You're not sacrificing. Praise God. Do you got anything? All right, stand up then. Church, praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You for the Word. Father, I just love You and honor You, Father God, in this place. For being who You are. Father, we wouldn't want to leave without giving opportunity for people or anybody that needs prayer, Father God, whether they don't know Jesus or they just are out of fellowship or they just don't know, don't have that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit in their life. Whatever those things are in their life that they need help in, whether they need prayer for health, healing. Father God, we have people here that can pray with them. So Father, I just thank You and praise You that as this service is released, they'll come up to the front and meet those that can help them. And pray for them. Father God, we believe it's not us that does it, but it's You that does it. And we want to be vessels used for the honor that You bring, Father God, not that we do. So I thank You and praise You for every single person here today. Bless them, Father God, and give them health in their life. And bless them the rest of the day. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.